Hey, welcome to Life 2.0 Podcast. I'm John St. Augustine. Time to go up the down staircase in the outdoor, make sense out of the senseless, and if at all possible, find the obvious buried in the absurd. Let's go. Absolutely delighted to have you joining me from anywhere and everywhere around planet Earth at the podcast. Full disclosure, my voice is not what it's supposed to be or is usually registering at. It's been a very interesting few days, which I'll get to in a couple minutes, about health and all that goes around that. So that's the first part. The second part, I am so not working with a net today, once again. I usually have a couple tidbits here and there written down, things I want to connect with, but this is going to be short, sweet, to the point. We'll see. Mostly if my voice holds up, will determine the length of the podcast. Let's just put it that way. So in the days of COVID, we're coming out of all that, but they're talking about a surge at the end of the year. I have gone the last 2.5 years with nary a cough. I've done some burping, there's no question, and some of the other stuff that's gone on over a lifetime, but we'll save that for another broadcast. But last Tuesday night, I started feeling not so well. Then Wednesday morning, even worse. Wednesday afternoon, starting to spiral down a little bit. Rallied a little bit on Thursday morning, thinking, hey, I'm Superman here. And, you know, I have not been sick for literally years. There was a time around Christmas every year, I'd kind of, at the end of the year, everything would run to the end of the plate there, and I'd get stuck with something. But for the last 5-6 years, for sure, I've been feeling really well and doing really good. And again, no major problems whatsoever. By Thursday night, I thought, this is a thing here, and I need to get a handle on it. Coincidentally, Thursday evening, my good and great friend and longtime adventurer partner, Jerry Kramer, the vaunted and highly respected Hall of Fame Packer guard, was in Chicago for a big event. He was getting an award from the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, for all the work that he has done over the years to raise millions of dollars for what's called Child ID, which is a program that has kits out all over the country. In the unfortunate circumstance that a child is snatched, there is an ID thing that can help recover them quicker, which is truly a shitty thing to have to even think about. But he's done a lot of good for that, to help raise money for that through the IBEW, and so they were giving him an award. Now, Jerry's 86 years old, and he's coming into Chicago, which never happens, especially in the time of COVID. I mean, he lives in Boise, Idaho. And there's been a couple times I thought about just jumping on a plane and heading out to his place like we used to and sit on the back deck and knock back some Russell's or Maker's Mark and just, you know, BS the day away. That hasn't happened, but he called and said, I'm coming to Chicago, let's have dinner. I said, great. About 3 o'clock on Thursday, I thought, this is just a bit much. So I rallied a bit, and, I stuffed a bunch of Smith Brothers throat lozenges in my pocket and took a couple Tylenol and this and that. And, you know, I kind of felt better, and the energy and the adrenaline kind of pushed me through. We had a fantastic evening, and it was so good to see him. I'm going to focus on that before I get to this other stuff. I've known the man 30-plus years, probably 33, 34 years now. And every time I'm in his orbit, I feel better for doing so. He is, without a doubt, probably one of the top 5 humans I've ever spent time with in my life. My folks notwithstanding, and people that are close to me. But over the years in the media, what happens is, you know, you do a radio show and thousands and thousands and thousands, if not millions of people hear it over time. And you have guests on and things like that. And it's all, you know, cyclical. It comes back around. So Jerry and I met back in the 80s, and you know, it just kept building on one after another adventure and project and business thing and all that stuff. So we became great friends over the years. And I check on him at least twice a month just to BS with him and keep his, you know, undies upright and get him moving in a good direction. He's had some health challenges, and I just was amazed at how good he looked at 86. Now, he's in a wheelchair only for mobility purposes. He can walk still, but when you're, you know, going from Boise to O'Hare to this major hotel downtown, and you're going to be among throngs of thousands of admirers, you know, you're going to want to be pushed around. And his son, Matt, is the man next to him that takes care of all. He's a great kid. And so anyway, all in all, we had one hell of a night. And it was so cool because it started out pretty, you know, fair to Midland. Just kind of working and go back and forth and chit-chatting and da-da-da-da. And pretty soon, somebody at another table recognized Jerry's Hall of Fame ring and came over. And as soon as one person comes over, the floodgates are freaking open. So for the next 4 hours, it was like a rotating, you know, audience coming to see him and get autographs, take pictures and stuff. And I'm amazed. I'm like 50 years since this guy's retired from football that they flock to him like bugs to a light at night. And I think part of that is exactly what it's all about for him. Football, you know, most of the people that come to see him, they weren't born when he played. And they know who he is and they know what he stands for. So it was this constant rotation of this stuff. And Matt and I kind of just sat back and did our best to make Maker's Mark go out of business and those type of things. We had just a lot of fun. But in all of that, when we had those times when we were just talking, you know, it always comes back to things that make life work better. Hence this show, Life 2.0, to up the ante a little bit. And we got on the conversation about how life coaches has become such a big deal. Now, no offense to anybody out there who earns a living as a life coach. I personally couldn't do it. And there's a couple of reasons why. A, most of the life coaches that I've encountered were just people I knew that were doing good things in the world, and I learned from them by watching them and talking with them a little bit. Like my grandmother was a life coach. I mean, come on. If my grandmother was alive and she knew about life coaching now and all the wisdom that she had, my grandma Helen, I mean, nobody made mashed potatoes like that. Nobody ever will. She could charge a fortune and tell people how to make really good mashed potatoes. But we got down to it. And he talks always about the principles that Lombardi instilled in those early teams. We had this ragtag bunch of young pro football fire breathers that wanted to do something with their lives, but they were terrible until Lombardi got a hold of them. And he, once again, about persistence and discipline and drive and determination and excellence and integrity and character. None of those things sell, meaning because they're all hard work. And what most people are looking for is a shortcut, 14 ways to be successful yesterday. It's all bullshit. Now, that's not to say there's not value in some of that stuff, but everything that I've ever seen work comes from the things Jerry has talked about that came from Lombardi, that came from the ancient Greeks, for all I know, about character, drive, and persistence, and determination, and discipline, and so on and so forth. And we talked about discipline in particular on Thursday night. And listen, this guy doesn't need any more accolades. He's done it all, achieved it all. There's nothing left to be said, and he talks about the discipline just to get himself geared up to come to Chicago on a wheelchair to fly across country, and that years of being disciplined and travel and doing the things that need to be done, great or small, has just become a habit of winning. And I think about doing this show and the other radio work I've done over the years and the books that I write and the TED Talks I've given and all that stuff. There's a certain amount of discipline that has to be in place for me to even get in front of this microphone today because I feel like shit. But I feel like I need to do this because this is what still sustains me and keeps me upright a little bit. A lot of that comes from football. Obviously from Lombardi for Jerry and for me, by osmosis from Jerry over the years and other people I spent time with, my coaches in high school and college and semi-pro football I played. All those lessons of the gridiron have just been so integrated into what I do and who I am. I don't see the difference. I mean, it's a lot less painful doing radio than it is getting, you know, off the snap of the ball and going head to head with a guy who's 35 pounds heavier than you. So all of that intact and taken into consideration, it was just the best night I've had in a very long time, even though I felt like a short turd dropped out of a tall cow's butt by the end of the night. So I got home, woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I thought, this is it. I'm checking out. My head was pounding. I couldn't breathe. All this was going on, able to knock back a little bit of PM Tylenol and go back to sleep for a while. Got up the next morning and had to tape a show at 6 o'clock in the morning with a client and crawled through that. And then I had a couple more sessions of audio that I had to do. And I didn't get really to rest till about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And by then I was behind it. I wasn't in front of it anymore. I was behind it, or at least it was in front of me at this point. So yesterday, finally broke down and went out, got the COVID test. The kind you can get at the drugstore. Wasn't going to go to the VA and wait in line. I just went and bought it. Bought the $23.99 ones because the $7.99 ones are gone. No big deal. I spend that much money going through the Portillo's drive-thru sometimes. Easy 20 bucks. So I sit there and I take this swab and I shove it up my right nostril till my eyes start to water and I swirl it around 4 or 5 times and I take it out and shove it up my left nostril so my left eye starts watering and swirl it around 4 or 5 times, take it out. Put it in a little packet, put some drops in, spin it around, close it for 15 to 30 minutes, and it'll tell you, it's like a pregnancy test. It'll tell you if you're positive or negative. And positive, there's a little pink line there above the blue line, which is the test line. And if you're negative, nothing shows up. So I waited and waited, and I opened it up, and negative for COVID. Oh, it was a great thrill of relief for me. I mean, I'm vaccinated twice and, you know, okay, so, okay. Maybe it's something else. This time of year, sometimes I get allergies, but this is pushing over the top. So I felt a little bit better after that, got a better night's sleep, got up yesterday, went about my business, and I thought, I got one more test. I'm going to do it again. Same drill, except I started on the left nostril this time and not the right one. Shoved it up there, swirled it around, shoved it up the other one. Eyes are watering, sticking in a test kit, spinning it around. Wait 15 to 30 minutes. At 22 minutes, I check it. Negative. And I'm glad for that. And on the other hand, this is part of the whole podcast this morning. This COVID pandemic has added a whole nother layer of what the is going on for me. Because prior to that, if I would have been in this condition maybe 5 years ago, I would have thought nothing of it except I got an early cold or some sort of upper respiratory ailment or something going around. I would not have to go get a test to see if I have this COVID. And at this point, barring different circumstances for people, I get that. But for me, being vaccinated, being in good health, no other issues, if I do get COVID, it's going to feel probably a lot like this does now. Now, the test could be wrong. I don't know about twice, but this is probably how it's going to be for me. I don't need to be in a hospital. I'm not headed towards a ventilator and all that kind of stuff. But it's added another dimension and layer to something we have to be mindful of and be aware of. So when I look back at the last 10 days, planes, trains, and automobiles. No trains, planes and automobiles for sure. It's the first time I'd been on a plane in 2 years. We went out to Washington, D.C. I mentioned on the podcast last week to say farewell to Captain Jerry Coffey at the Arlington Cemetery. And there was a reception after that. And I haven't worn a mask in a month. Now, I'm not saying it's good or bad. Do what you want to do. And I'm a mask advocate. But it didn't call for that anymore for me. I felt good. I didn't, you know, it's all good for me. And if I get it, then it's on me. So even without a mask, apparently I don't have it. But I was on a plane, which is basically a cigar tube flying at 600 miles an hour, 35,000 feet above the planet. And you're in this enclosed space with people. Teresa had her mask on. She feels fine. So, you know, maybe this is just kind of my karmic kickback for not being masked during the time, but at least it's not COVID. But the point in this is, this little rambling rant of mine, is, as my voice is starting to give out a little bit, is that now it's an awareness that will never go away. You know, I firmly believe at some point in the near future, in the next year or two, you know, those bombardment of drug commercials we see. Do you have COVID-19? Here's the symptoms. If you do, ask your doctor. They can go get another shot or a pill or whatever. It'll become part of the vernacular, part of the journey of being human. It's another thing we have to deal with. And so while I feel a little bit better today than I did yesterday, I got a few more days, I think, like this. So it's also a reminder for me to slow the F down. I run at a pretty high pace. I got a lot of moving parts and pieces of the puzzle going on all the time. And those are more difficult when you can't breathe or you can't see and your head's pounding, obviously. I'm fortunate enough to know my own work and do my own work. I don't have to go anywhere for work anymore or just anything like that. So I'm fortunate in that respect. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure once I shut the microphone off, I'm going to go back to sleep. But the point being is that this is just another awareness that has to be raised to a certain point. There is a certain part of the human ego, mine included, thinks, I got away with it. And apparently I have at the COVID level, but I still have this other thing going on that in years past would have been nothing more than a reason to buy more NyQuil. And I did, by the way. And they're not a sponsor of the show. I just enjoy it when needed. But all of that, take it into consideration. And because I've slowed down for the last couple days, I started noticing things that I haven't noticed for a while. And that's an offshoot of this, I guess, this virus that has caught up to me, whatever it is, unnamed at this point. And I'm so thankful for my health. Number one, isn't that the truth? You know, health and wealth are totally connected. I went to some events in the past couple of years with some fabulously wealthy people. Two of them have passed away from COVID in that time. Wealth doesn't matter anymore, but health and wealth connected is everything. I also stopped the other day. I was taking the garbage out, which I do anyway on Thursday, but I stopped and I looked up, which I haven't done for a while. And the sky was so blue. And I just stood there gazing at it like I was 10 years old again. And I'm not, but I did feel like it for just a couple seconds. And it's those little things like that that make life big for me. And as much as I've written about this stuff, like in my book, Every Moment Matters, some of the more interesting and challenging and a bit bizarre events in my third book, I should say, Phenomenon, And certainly in the first book, Living an Uncommon Life, it's about finding the extraordinary in the ordinary. And sometimes we get lost in that. And so this little illness I have here has slowed me down to the point where I could look at that again. I'm looking out in the yard right now and the clematis is just going crazy because it's been 90 degrees plus here for 2 days. Beautiful morning here now. It's just 67 degrees, very even and quiet outside. But life goes on. And one of those rare chances because of an illness to stop. And I think sometimes, at least for me, when these things come along to slow me down, it means I haven't been paying attention enough. And it's easy for that to happen. We get numb in society with all the shit that's going on, and we get outwardly focused. I've done this myself at times, getting involved in things that are none of my business that I can do nothing about. I talk about it all the time. It's a reminder to me, first and foremost, to mind my own business. You know, I'm constantly asking my highly significant other when somebody comes on TV, I'm like, who's this? She tells me, I'm like, I don't even know who that is. That's a good thing. I don't want to know. But I feel a little bit behind the times, you know? I'm kind of an Android guy in a digital world still, and I guess that's okay. It's just a natural or unnatural evolution of technology and how we move forward as a species or not. And the other part of this thing is that even if it had come up as positive with the COVID, I have options, right? There's a lot of people that didn't have options for whatever reasons, whether they didn't believe they needed to mask up or get a vaccine. It's none of my business. My business is to take care of home plate. And the options I have great health care at the VA. I keep myself healthy for the most part. Cut back on sugar when I don't feel good because that exacerbates things in a negative direction. Drink a lot more water. All that stuff, you have options to kind of respond to the thing that's going on. And the big one, of course, is just realizing how good it is to have your health. I go back to Mr. Kramer in his wheelchair by chance, not by choice, for convenience, really, for him to get around. And this is a guy who was played at the pinnacle of the NFL for a decade. And I still see that fire in his eyes as we're sitting there across the table, you know, bullshit and telling stories of days gone by. And we both know that tomorrow's promised to none of us and that we have to live today as if it was our last one, because the truth is it could be. And for many people it is. And one day it will be. And so how we spend our time really does matter. That's for sure. So, because I'm a creature of habit, not all of them are good, but I am a creature of habit, I had to get a little bit of a podcast in. There may be zero worth or value in this for you because I'm rambling all over the place. My ears are plugged up. I can't hear what I sound like. I'm just watching my microphone monitor. Most of what's come out of my mouth, couldn't tell you. Just spilling my guts here, kids. So in all of that, taking the garbage out on the other day and looking up at the sky and the sun was coming, and I just realized it's the simple things that matter most. As it always has been, the simple things, something like that. Just to have the sun warm on you after a long winter can make all the difference. That's for sure. Until next time, be well, safe travels. Thanks for listening. Adios.
Sunshine on my shoulders makes me happy. Sunshine in my eyes can make me cry. Sunshine on the water looks so lovely. Sunshine almost always makes me high. If I had a day that I could give you, I'd give to you a day just like today. If I had a song I could sing for you. I'd sing a song to make you feel this way. Now you sing with me. Sunshine on my shoulders makes me happy. Sunshine in my eyes can make me cry. Sunshine on the water looks so lovely. Sunshine almost always makes me high. Sunshine almost all the time makes me high. Sunshine almost always.
Thank you.